I'm just so happy that I can now begin to live my life again.
Yeah. What's kept you strong over these years, for such a long time? What's kept you going?
Gosh, I don't know. I really don't. I've had major ups and I've had major downs. And without the support of my family around me, who kept me going with their visits and my endless telephone calls to them at inappropriate times, I don't know how I would have coped. And with Harriet and Claire and all their team supporting me as well, it has been a really long road, and at one point I didn't see any light at the end of it.
Are you aware now that the abuse that you suffered and that it was coercive control?
Yes, I am. It was doing the Freedom Programme in Bronzefield that opened my eyes. That was the start of it. And I spoke to my niece about it, and she found Harriet. And here we are today after all this time.
Any other questions?
Oh, gosh, that's such a difficult question. It's wonderful. I can be with them. I can see them in a normal environment. I can go shopping with them. Oh, they can come shopping with me, rather. Oh, I'm so grateful. I couldn't have wished for a nicer pair of boys to be my sons.
Rachel
from ABC, can I just ask, what do you want the change or the legacy from all of this to be? You've mentioned the other women who've gone through something similar, but what do you hope you can come of everything that you've gone through? I just hope that the justice system will recognise that abuse happens and that they should take it more seriously in cases. I've met many women in prison who shouldn't be there. They know who they are, and I'm talking to them now. And I just hope someone listens and that they can get an appeal. Getting an appeal is a very difficult thing to do. We failed on the first count. They refused it. So it went before the three judges, and finally they agreed. If I hadn't been granted appeal, I wouldn't be here today. So the justice system needs to listen.
Yeah.
Sorry, what would you say to those women who are in abusive relationships now, who are now victims of coercive control?
Seek help from somebody, tell somebody. And I think also that people around them need to realise and look at their friends, and if they think there is something wrong, to try and get the person to talk to them. It's very, very difficult for these people, and as it was in my case, to leave the partner. You have to leave the area and everything that you know. That's the only way you can break away. And I think because of Richard and myself, it was over 40 years we were together, it was just impossible for me. But I say to these women, seek help now, you know, before it's too late. Just seek help from anybody. See your doctor. Make your GP understand and get help.
Yeah.
Have you got any idea what you want to spend your time doing now that you're a free woman? Do you want to take up a campaign alongside yourself?
It's not something I've thought about. But I think that's something I can have a discussion with them and Harriet.
Did you learn of the CPS's decision before today's hearing? You tell us where you were at the time and you learned the news.
I was at the front door, waiting for a call from Harriet, trying to stop the dogs barking because the letter had just come through the letterbox. And Harriet told me the good news.
How did that feel
for you? Oh, it was very emotional, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very emotional. I was with James and Jen, and David was up in London, and it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Was that yesterday?
It was about, I think it was the 28th or something, was it?
Yes, 28th, but
we
weren't allowed to tell anybody.
Yeah.
Any other? You said today you still love Richard, you still miss him. Some people might be surprised to hear that. Is there anything more you'd like to say?
I've been in therapy now, I suppose, in prison for nearly 5 years. And throughout it all, I had difficulty moving on from the past. I think through that, though, I'm now a much stronger person. And I want to thank Pamela and Karen, they know who they are, for all the support they gave me and listened to me endlessly. I think I'll always love Richard. He's a part of me.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions?
Harry, I'd like to ask you a question, if you don't mind, about the significance of today and moving forward onto future cases in terms of coercive control. We've mentioned this, described this as a landmark case. Can you just explain why?
Well, although the case is focused, the final outcome is focused on diminished responsibility, I think through the campaigning work and through the advocacy at the Court of Appeal and through the expert evidence, we've been able to show that the reality of coercive and controlling behaviour and its impact. And I think, a concept that was not widely understood is much more widely understood now. And so that is very important, and I think it will be very important in these sorts of cases when they arise that lawyers who will we hope, look to understand the context and the dynamics of the relationship so that in future, when defending these cases, and in future when taking decisions around prosecutions, that will be taken into account. And it's a highly relevant context, and unfortunately, our criminal justice system and the way in which cases are prosecuted tend to be done in a very simple way. And that just means that there are victims of miscarriages of justice because you're not able to look at the context. In cases like this, where there is a dynamic and it's a dynamic over many years, it's critical that that is understood. And, we hope also through the research that Centre for Women's Justice are doing with Justice for Women, that we will be able to educate the criminal justice system in particular, the practitioners in the criminal justice system, to, defend and prosecute these cases fairly, taking into account the context of abuse.
Would you like to see the CPS change the way they're approaching these cases?
Yes, I would. I think that they will, certainly the way this case was run and many other cases we've seen, they have a policy, it's a written down policy that says that they have a commitment to around violence against women. There are international treaty obligations that are signed up to around discrimination against women and around abuse. There's something called the Bangkok Rules, which is about recognition of the number of women who are incarcerated as a consequence of abuse. CPS have a commitment and an understanding as signed up to around those things, but we don't see it in practice. And we see them going ahead as though they just want to win these cases and convict without consideration of that context. So I would like to see them actually honour their commitments that they've made and which they're signed up to and which they're obligated to consider. We did write to the Director of Public Prosecutions and made a series of representations before this plea was entered, and we made representations not just about the evidence and the public interest, but also with reference to their duty not to discriminate against women and their duty to abide by their policy commitments on domestic abuse. DPP hasn't responded to our letter, but I understand that he has received it and that he sanctioned the decision to offer a plea ultimately, but I'm not sure on what basis.
I'm so sorry, this case is so important for women who are still in abusive relationships. If they're not lawyers, could Could you explain to those women, how do they know they're in coercive, victims of coercive control?
I think a lot of the problem is that they don't. And it's family members and friends who notice it. And somehow they have to speak to that person and try to convince them to leave. I know of cases where this has been done. They've left, they've started a new life, and then 2 months later they've gone straight back to exactly what they had left. They don't seem to be able to break that tie. It's a very strong tie, and these women are very vulnerable. The only thing that I can say is that friends and family and anyone who notices something, however small, they should try and talk to that person until that person listens.
What more do you think can be done to educate people about coercive control? Do you think it's something that should be taught in schools, for example, to make people more?
I think it should be. I think, you know, girls as well as boys suffer from the same thing. It's not something that's talked about because it's not a physical scar on someone's face or arm or a broken arm, but they're damaged, and it's a damage that is done to them for the rest of their lives. Teachers also should be aware, and to look around their classrooms and make the children aware of what can happen.
Okay. One more.
Oh my goodness. What day is it? Saturday. Well, they've got a carnival or something in where we live, so I might go along down to that.
David, I just wanted to ask you, you've been such a vocal and avid campaigner for your next release. Can you put into words how it feels to finally be here, to finally have your long
free? It's incredible. The journey's been so long. The journey's been so torturous. The wait from appeal to now has been torturous. The pursuit by the CPS of our family has been overzealous and inhumane in recognising, not even recognising properly the abuse. And it's their duty to. You know, we really want to make sure this is a landmark moment and run with it and make people aware and get people engaged and create a bigger issue about this and get people talking. It's not just a women's issue, it's a men's issue too. And that's talking about it. It's men talking about it, women talking about it. It's all our issue, domestic violence. It affects every one of us. And coercive control is the bedrock of it. And we just can't hope to understand domestic violence without first understanding coercive control. But to have my mother back is... it's no words. It's back to being a son again, and back to her being an infuriating mother.
Okay. I think that's probably covered it. And unless there's anything pressing from anyone, no. Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to
thank you. All right, okay.